Let's pray. Father, you are a good and holy and precious God. I pray, O Father, right now that the Holy Spirit of God would fall fresh on us. I thank you for the privilege, O God, to be in your house today. For the opportunity you've given us, O God, to hear a word from you. And so now, in the precious name of Jesus Christ and by the authority of the blood of Jesus, O God, may your word find its lodging point in our hearts. May your word, O God, be like a seed that is planted in good soil that bears fruit. And so I give you this time that Jesus Christ might be honored and praised. In his name I pray, amen. Open your Bibles with me to the book of 1 Timothy. First Timothy chapter 4. So let me, while you're finding 1 Timothy chapter 4, let me ask you to give me the first word that comes to your mind when I say the word discipline. I say them again. Needed. Not the spiritual answers. Spanking. Punish. Marine Corps. Pain. Teacher. Control. Trouble. I missed that. Say that again. Straighten out. Good. Marriage. Whoa, I'm glad I didn't say that one. Doghouse. I can relate to that one. Yep, I got a fine doghouse, but we're not even going there. I got Persian carpets and everything else. I'm central air. Okay, let's preach a little bit. Better not go down that story. Discipline. You know, we sort of look at that word and it's just not a very good word. And, you know, in athletics, growing up in athletics, discipline was just a part of the routine. You did, you know, you knew that if, unless you disciplined yourself, you really would not be able to accomplish a lot of purposes and a lot of higher purposes, so to speak. And then, for example, even this morning with the choir singing, if you say, well, where was discipline in that? Well, discipline was what caused the choir members to learn those notes and those words. Now, did you notice I didn't even have a book? Did you notice that? I hope you say yes. But the reason why I didn't have a book was because I knew the music so poorly that I was standing right next to someone who had it all and I was just leaning on them. So sometimes maybe we can lean on somebody else to get through. But it's like the guy in the kindergarten class. You know, at what point do you think God would say, hey, it's time to get out of kindergarten as it relates to believers? It's like, you know, at what point would we say that studying my Bible, reading my Bible, understanding what my Bible says should matter to you as a believer in Jesus Christ? At what point would you say that you should be able to get over your fear of praying in public? At what point do you think that you should, as a believer, get over your fear of sharing your faith in Christ? It's like, you know, it's like, okay, what would you say would be the expectation of God when it came to the spiritual maturity of his children? Well, that's what we're going to talk about. In fact, today we're starting a series entitled Higher. Tools to get above it all. It'll be like a 4 or 5 sermon series because we believe, and I'm so convicted of this that I'm just looking forward to this series. I've been looking forward to it for months, And so I know God's going to bless us. And so, but it's going to challenge us. It's going to challenge us. But I'll tell you something. If you rise to the challenge, you will be blessed. Okay, 1 Timothy 4. The Apostle Paul is writing to Timothy. Timothy is in a church in Ephesus, a good-sized church, and one of Paul's main mission bases. And he's writing to Timothy as he would as a spiritual leader, even perhaps you might even say a spiritual father to his child. So we read beginning in verse 1 of Timothy, 1 Timothy 4. But the Spirit explicitly says that in later times, or last days, some translations have, in the last days some will fall away from the faith. Would you say that might describe the time that we are in? People falling away from the faith in the sense that, you know, they don't really see a need to grow spiritually. They don't see a need to, whether it's attending church or whether it's spending time with the Lord or whatever it might be, they just don't see the reason to do so. And so I think we are definitely in a time where people are falling away from the faith. In fact, in 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter, it talks about Jesus will not return until the apostasy takes place, which literally an apostasy is a falling away from the faith. So we have that in the New Testament, and so perhaps we're in that time. But today, we're talking about you and me. Where are we at today? But the Spirit explicitly says that in later times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines or teachings of demons. By means of the hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron, men who forbid marriage and advocate abstaining from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared in by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude, for it is sanctified by means of the word of God in prayer. If you wonder why we pray over meals, here's a verse right here. It is that in your prayer, the food is sanctified by your prayer. Now, what he's talking about in this passage in verse 3, when he talks about those who advocate abstaining from foods, he's not talking about vegetarians. What he's talking about is there will be a time where people will abstain from certain foods for spiritual reasons. That's really what he's talking about. So, let's move down, though, to verse number 7. That's our focal verse. Verse 7, but have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women. Now, if you're an older woman, he's not really being not politically correct. I'm not sure how I ought to say that, but he's really just saying, just don't pay attention to myths and gossip and picking up the phone and, you know, that's what he's saying. But the key part is the latter part of that verse. He says, on the other hand, in other words, don't pay attention to that. On the other hand, discipline yourself. There's that word. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline, which would be like exercise, is only of little profit. But godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. It is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance. So then, the key then, verse 7 and verse 8, for bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Well, here today, here's what we're going to talk about. Higher tools to get above it all. What are some spiritual tools that the Scripture gives us to get above it all? The phrase that we will use throughout this series is spiritual disciplines. Spiritual disciplines are tools that God gives us to get above it all. I will give it this definition. Spiritual disciplines are spiritual tools that God has given us for the purpose of becoming more like Jesus Christ, which is why verse 7 says, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. So spiritual disciplines, are spiritual tools that God gives us for the purpose of becoming more like Jesus Christ, for growing in our faith and our love for God. That's what we mean. We say a spiritual tool. What is a spiritual tool? We're going to use the phrase spiritual disciplines. I would think it's described in another passage of Scripture in Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8. He says this, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." And so what the Scripture is telling is, whatsoever you sow, that will you reap. So if you do things of the flesh or of lust or unhealthy things in the world, if you believe what society says as opposed to what the Word of God says, he says you will reap what you sow. On the other hand, likewise, you will, if you sow to the Spirit, if you will sow to God, you will reap from the Spirit of God. So then, if we define spiritual disciplines as tools that God gives us so that we can become more like Christ, then when we practice those disciplines, then we are sowing and reaping to the Spirit. For you and I, for example, you ever heard someone say, well, you know what? Someone say, you know, God spoke to me yesterday, and here's what he said, and you thought something like this. Well, what do you mean God spoke to you? I don't understand God speaking to you. What do? You get a telephone call from God? Did he knock on your door? What do you mean God speaks to you? You know, a lot of what I would call the things that happen in the lives of believers are because they have learned the sound of God's voice by using different spiritual disciplines that the Bible gives us so they understand what his voice sounds like. What we're going to do when we talk about spiritual disciplines, we're going to use two primary resources in defining those spiritual disciplines. One is from the book by Richard Foster entitled Celebration of Disciplines, and the other is from written by a man by the name of Donald Whitney, and it is entitled Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life. In both of those books, we find a list of spiritual disciplines that are included in Scripture. The disciplines are a little different. I'm going to give you the ones that Richard Foster says. In fact, Richard Foster's book has sold over 1 million copies. It was first published in 1978. It's had two additional publishings since then. And over that period, over 1 million copies have been sold. Here's what Richard Foster lists as the spiritual disciplines from the Scripture. First would be prayer, then fasting. You ever wondered what the purpose of fasting was or how you were to do it? Study is his third, which would include Bible study. Meditation and contemplation. What's he talking about? Becoming a mystic? Is that what Richard Foster's talking about? Simplicity. Solitude. Submission. That's a hard word for us to receive in this day and time. Service, giving, confession, worship, guidance, and celebration. Donald Whitney, he has this list: Bible intake, prayer, worship, evangelism, service, stewardship, fasting, silence and solitude, journaling, learning, confession, accountability, simplicity, submission, spiritual direction, celebration, affirmation, sacrifice, and watching. These are different tools that God gives us, disciplines whereby we might grow and no longer be an infant Christian, but be a mature believer in Jesus Christ. Here's some of the statements in these two books as to what spiritual disciplines really represent. The first statement, the disciplines allow us to place ourselves before God so that God can transform us. They are God's means of grace. A discipline is something to which we submit in order to effect change. Let's see, anybody in here lift weights? Okay, Jay, will you stand up and turn around? Take your coat off. Okay, I see. Brother Vic, you talk so loud, you come stand beside him. Take your coat off. Do you think they lift weights? Let me tell you something. Here's the problem. Here's the problem in this illustration. Vic was born that way. He doesn't even have to lift weights. He spoils the whole illustration. Brother Jay, he lifts the weights. So what he does is he submits to a habit which affects a change in his life, and he's all bulked up. Okay, Brad Preisinger was in the 8 o'clock service, and he's the same way. You can sit down, brothers. Thank you. So what a discipline is, a spiritual discipline is, it's something that you submit to. In other words, the Lord says that we're to pray without ceasing. He says we're to desire the pure milk of His Word. And so we submit to these things, and when we submit to these things, they affect a change in our lives. But unlike, for example, lifting weights, which God's created the body when it's under stress, and it continues to be under stress, God strengthens the body. He's created us that way. Unlike exercise, spiritual disciplines, when you submit yourself to the particular discipline, what God does is, because you have submitted, you have placed yourself in a position whereby now God can give you something spiritual. That's the way it works. God gives He gives grace to us. The spiritual disciplines are those personal and corporate disciplines that promote spiritual growth. You know, how does anybody grow unless they eat food? So why is it as believers in Jesus Christ that we would expect to grow spiritually if we never partake of spiritual food other than once a week? How healthy would you be if the only time you had physical food would be once a week on Sunday? The analogies you see they're multiple in terms of what we expect to experience spiritually and what we do to place ourselves in a position whereby we can. A discipline is any activity within our power that we engage in to enable us to do what we cannot do by our own direct effort. Let me read that again. A discipline is any activity within our power that we engage in to enable us to do what we cannot do by our own direct effort. Brothers and sisters, let me ask you a question. If you really want to help your children grow to be mature and responsible, have good character, moral individuals, why would you not be certain that they know and practice the spiritual disciplines? So, I agree that lacrosse is a great sport. And it blessed me financially because both of my sons had scholarships in college. And I made sure they had good camps and so forth, not only in lacrosse, but other sports as well, other activities. I gave them that opportunity. It was up to them whether or not they pursued it. But I gave them the opportunity. Now, let me ask you a question, though. Does it not apply the same when it comes to our children and the spiritual opportunities that we give them? Whether that's coming to Wednesday night Bible study for the kids or music, it's like when it comes to the spiritual things, we put on a different hat. We got a whole different set, a different mindset. And now, when it comes to the spiritual disciplines for our children, it only applies if they got nothing else to do. So why are they called spiritual disciplines? Well, first reason is because it's not natural. Now, Brother Vicks is natural. Okay, he's natural. A good friend of mine, Jake, in high school, his was natural. Just made me so upset I'd, covet all the time because I was not natural, okay? Well, disciplines, spiritual growth, the things that we do, in order to grow spiritually are not natural. In fact, in the Greek, the word in verse 7 and verse 8 that's translated discipline is the word in the Greek gymnazio, which is the word we get take the word gymnasium from. The same Greek word that is translated in this passage, we get the word gymnasium from. And so certainly when it comes to what God has in mind, when he says discipline, that is an activity, something that we do. It's not natural, but God tells us to do it, and so we do it. In fact, you look at Philippians 2. Let me read this from verses 12 and 13. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation. Wait, what does it mean when someone goes and works out? Youth, what does it mean to go work out? Exercise. I'm going to go, Mom, I'm going to work out today. I'm going to go pump some weights. I'm going to throw the football. I'm going to play some baseball. Well, what would it mean to work out on an instrument like this? You know, did you get that yesterday? How long have you had that? Since you were 13. Tom, you remember that instrument? Well, did you buy that instrument for her, Tom, and it just sat in the corner and she never played it? But did you have to make her play it sometimes? Sometimes. Well, I'm telling you, well, if Tom will make Sherry, his daughter, practice on the cello, I wonder if you ought to ever make your children have a quiet time. Come with me, guys. Now, I'm not, oh, goodness, here we go. Okay, so then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who's at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So if you expect when it comes to the spiritual disciplines that you are supposed to do only what you feel like doing, you're probably not going to do a whole lot of spiritual disciplines. In Hebrews 5, he says this, for though by this time, now listen to this, you ought to be teachers. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Well, maybe you're saying something like this. Now, wait a minute, Pastor Kip. This sounds like work. And I'm just, I do work 6 days a week, 5 days a week, or whatever it is for you. And that just sounds like work. Are you saying that the spiritual disciplines, we're supposed to work in order to gain the favor of God? I absolutely am not. Because you see, salvation is by grace. The scripture says, for by grace you have been saved, and not as a result of works, that you should not boast. Okay, we're not talking about salvation, brothers and sisters. That is God's gift. We're talking about what happens to us as believers, what is God's expectation, what is God's command after we become believers in order to grow in godliness, in Christ-likeness. See, that's what we're talking about. Well, let me ask you this question. For your career, did you have to learn anything? Study, apply yourself to be successful in your career? You know, when I got out of college from Mars Hill College, I decided to go to work for the IRS. Did you know that about me? I'm a former revenuer. I used to audit people's tax returns. They saw me coming and they want to go the other direction. When I was in a party, we'd go to a party, and Debbie and I would go, and they'd ask me what I would do. I'd say, well, I work for the IRS. It was like I had a plague. But you know what I remember about the IRS? When I went to work for the IRS, we went through some extensive training period. It was like 6 months almost of training, so we knew what the IRS tax code said. Because how could you be an auditor of someone's tax return if you didn't know what the tax code said? Now, brothers and sisters, let me ask you a question. How can you be a mature believer in Jesus Christ and not know what the Bible says? We know that for our careers, we apply ourselves to be a success. Why would it not apply the same for being a believer in Jesus Christ and growing spiritually? Anybody in here know a foreign language? Anybody studying a foreign language? Well, tell me one of the things you do learning a foreign language. Any of our teenagers have a foreign language you're studying in school? What is it? French, Spanish. Let me ask you a question. How well do you do on a test when you don't know the words? Mm-mm. Doesn't that require a little study? Well, how is it that study only applies to French or Spanish but not the Word of God, see? See, it's very important, though, that we understand one thing, because rules can be an end to themselves. And now, you hang with me. You hang with me. It's going to pick up one second. You hang with me. Okay? Hang with me. Okay. It's all about purpose. See, if you think what I'm talking about is you need to do or practice spiritual disciplines because it's a set of rules that you need to memorize and you need to work through those rules and you do them every single day and the rules, you know, it's just because you're supposed to. Now you see what'll happen then is the rules become something for you to boast about, something you feel good about, or something for you to judge others by. This is not about the rules. No, there is a purpose. If you go back to verse 7, it says, discipline yourself for the purpose of what? Godliness. The purpose of spiritual disciplines is that we might become more like God, more like Jesus Christ. Jesus said that we were to follow him. Some of us have forgot what following means, and we're getting Jesus to follow us, see? So what disciplines are, they help us to know who Jesus Christ is so that in knowing Christ, the Spirit of God takes more control of my life and the rules or the laws, rather, the spiritual disciplines, I practice them because they are a part of knowing Jesus Christ. My purpose is very important. My purpose is to know God. You know, I don't know about you, but if I try to do things without purpose, I just stop doing them. You know, after a while, I get tired of them, and I just don't want to do them. So, you know, most of you know that I run regularly, and I run in rain. I run in when it's cold weather. The only thing I don't run in is the snow. Why is it that I run? Because I don't know about you, but it's not too fun. It's not too fun to run. So why do I do that? I do that because it has a benefit. It has a purpose. It keeps the circulation in these diabetic legs for 35 years. It keeps the circulation pumping. And I don't have pain in my legs and my feet don't go dead. So the purpose of I have a purpose in running. And so the reason why I run when it's cold, reason why I run when it's raining is because I know if I don't, I won't experience the benefits that I otherwise would have if I didn't run. So the purpose when it comes to spiritual disciplines, the purpose is knowing Christ. I do this because I want to know Christ. I want to experience him in my life. Let me give you some reasons. Some reasons why you and I should practice the spiritual disciplines. The first reason is because he commands us to. 1 Peter 1:15-16, he says, be holy because I'm holy. Other passages, God commands us to be holy, to be sanctified in him. The other one is the state of the church. I think the state of the church has sort of lost its way. What do I mean by that? Let me ask you a question. When we changed Lifeline from Sunday school, why do you think we did that? Tell me, when it comes to Sunday school, what does that sort of connote to your mind, modern day people? Children. Why children? Because they're supposed to learn things. Okay, and so we changed it to Lifeline because what we wanted to communicate was what you do is when you study God's word is you experience life. It's not so much about study as it is about experiencing life. But we have also in our mind now that that's not something that adults are supposed to do. And that communicates the wrong thing. I think the church is immature spiritually. I'm not talking about our church, although our church is in the group. We are like infants. Why? Because we haven't practiced the spiritual disciplines to grow in our faith with Jesus Christ. Here's the other reason why we should practice the spiritual disciplines, and I'll just say it's life. In my office is a little small refrigerator, one of these little small ones, and it's got a little small freezer section. You know what? And it doesn't have an automatic defrost. So you know what happens to that little freezer? It eventually gets so much ice in it that it just stops working. Okay? It's just the ice accumulates, and you can't get anything in, you can't get anything out. Let me ask you a question. Has life done that to you? Life sort of just so grabbing you all around it. You know, you just can't experience life anymore. It's like something's broken in your life. Is it possible that the reason why your life is broken is because you don't practice the spiritual disciplines? You know, we talked about tithing a few weeks ago, and the scripture says that test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, and see if I do not open the windows of heaven for you and rebuke the devourer. The spiritual disciplines, what God does is He says, if you don't, you won't experience my blessings, my fullness. You won't experience life. I asked one of the staff to give me the reason why they practice the spiritual disciplines and see if this doesn't sound just like that. Here's what they said. Because there's nothing more amazing in life than knowing Jesus Christ personally and having Him show you, reveal to you His presence in your life, His involvement in your life, His care, direction, and knowledge of your life and well-being. He becomes what allows you to rise above it all. Jesus becomes what allows you to rise above it all. What does that mean? If life is falling apart in your house, our first resort, and don't misunderstand me, our first resort is to go to a counselor. I refer people to Christian counselors all the time, and I believe in them. But I'll tell you something. If you resort to a counselor before you resort to the Word of God and the spiritual disciplines, you got to order backwards. That's what God says. He is what raises us above life. What in the world is this? This looks like a tool belt of some kind. Man, it weighs 50 pounds. Golly Moses. But Jay, you got to come up here and help me with this thing. It's dangerous, too. My golly.
Let's put this here. All right. Got the strap. There you go. Is it twisted?
Something ain't right.
Oh, yeah. All right, yeah, let's just take this off.
Oh, my. This feel like you when you open the Bible?
There we go. Okay.
Oh. Whoa. Oh. Whoa, what's this?
You got a belt.
I got a belt? Whoa, I got a belt. Oh.
Look back here.
Well, how does it work? Just feel like you when you start to pray? Well, whoa, well, I'm gonna look neat, aren't I? Will you look at this? Will you look at my tool belt? Now, the only problem is my belly's hanging over the edge here. Excuse me. Well, what's this for? What is this? What if I... It's a what? Well, I don't know how to use this tool. If I just go like that, I wonder what will happen. What is this right here? Oh, oh. Am I supposed to pinch somebody's finger with this thing? What is it? I don't understand how to use this tool. Do you have a spiritual tool belt on? You don't know how to use a tool then, you see. You know how to fast? You see, what do you think about that fasting business? What do you think? The tithing? Oh, where's tithing? Oh, my, where is tithing, tithing? I don't know if that's it. Put my finger. Oh, no, no, no. You understand where I'm going with this? You see, the spiritual disciplines, each one of these disciplines are like a tool in this bag. And for some of us, it's like, you know, preacher, you don't look good in that vest, in that belt. It doesn't go with your coat. You're getting it all dusty. It doesn't go with you. Some of us look at the spiritual disciplines and think they're for somebody else. See? No, I don't believe it says it. There's no except in here. Doesn't say, it'll apply to everybody, but those people who have little babies. Doesn't apply to them. Now, it does apply differently to them, I have to say. It does. But in your tool belt are tools. These tools are for the purpose of doing something and making something easier. See, and the more I use these tools, the better I get at them. So I don't have to ask my son how to use this or this, because these are his tools. He's an expert at them, you see. But some of us, we don't ever use the tools, and we don't understand why we're not experts, or we don't understand why it doesn't apply to us. The spiritual disciplines are for the purpose of you knowing God. That's what the purpose is. And the more you use them, the more blessed you will be. And you know what? I asked my doctor the other day, I'm not one for taking a lot of medicines. I asked my doctor, he has this another medicine he wants me to take. And he's some kind of ACE inhibitor or something. And I said, what are the symptoms of that medicine? You know what he told me? Longer life. What are the symptoms, Skip? Longer life. Take this medicine and you'll have a longer life. Do you know that the spiritual disciplines will give you a longer life? Let me just read this to you. Cognitive decline in Alzheimer's disease. Says the objective of this test, this is the abstract, is to assess the effects of quality of life, spirituality, and religiosity on rate of progression of cognitive decline in Alzheimer's disease. In other words, what this test sought to determine was whether or not if you practice the spiritual disciplines, that's my term, spirituality and religiosity, what effect it would have on someone and Alzheimer's. Results. After controlling for baseline level of cognition, age, sex, education, a slower rate of cognitive decline was associated with higher levels of spirituality and private religious practices. These variables accounted for 17% of the total variance. Another study concluded, those with considering, and I'm just going to highlight because I'm out of time, says that the results of spirituality and religiosity from these three meta-analyses, considering those with the most conservative results, persons with the highest level of spirituality and religiosity had an 18% reduction in mortality. That means that you live 18% longer. So if you want to know why the Lord says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, brothers and sisters, a part of the reason is because the Lord wants to give you long life. So there are lots of reasons why you and I ought to practice the spiritual disciplines. Among those is the symptoms are that it'll give you long life. Now let me just give you some next steps. Really quickly, here's what I want to ask you to do. If you don't have a personal study Bible, buy one. Next week, we're going to talk about Bible intake. And we're going to give you some Bibles that you can consider doing. Secondly, we ought to be journaling. Our prayer requests, we ought to journal them and write down what's happening, what we pray about, so we can see when God answers our prayers, because we have short-term memories. They're not very good, and God answers prayers. Purchase one of the books that we're going through right now. A list is on the foyer, on the table in the foyer. Memorize 1 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. Memorize that passage. And choose one discipline. I'm going to ask you to choose one discipline to focus on for the next week. One discipline. Okay, church, what do you say? I'm serious. Will you think about what I'm asking you to do, what we're asking you to do? Will you think about it? Will you consider it? Let's pray.